I think that was good. We can use it.
Blessed are they who go preaching with the Christ blood, trusting God, teaching and teaching the apostles, walking in the present trust. Cast your bread upon the water, never resting if it pays. God has promised to return it to you after many days.
Brother Jason Adams.
No, that's fine. Yeah, you can leave it on. I was hoping you wouldn't cut it off so quick. You're not supposed to quench the spirit, brother. I enjoyed what's been offered here this weekend. I thank God that He has blessed us once again. He said that He's faithful, that He would never leave us and never forsake us. And so we expected that the Lord would bless us one more time. And thank God that He is faithful. I want to look just a little bit. I had a piece of, there's four verses on my mind. It's in the 11th chapter of the second letter to the Corinthians. The first four verses, Paul writes this: "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Amen.
For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with them." The statement that Paul makes here, he talks about being beguiled as the serpent beguiled Eve, and he fears lest someone beguiles them from something that we don't often, I don't think, consider quite as much as we should. And that is the simplicity that is in Christ.
Amen.
You know, things get real complicated when men insert themselves into the works of God.
Right.
It gets really complicated. I used to believe, absolutely, sincerely believed, that man had a part to do with their eternal salvation. I absolutely, sincerely believed it. And it was because that seemed right. It seemed to me, right, to this old carnal mind, it seemed right. Well, of course I would have something to do with my own salvation. Of course I would have something to do. Well, would God do everything for me? Of course He's going to leave me with something to do. But it gets really complicated when whatever you think, whatever you come up with in your mind for what God has left man to do, whatever it is, I once believed, because I read it in the Bible, I once believed that because I didn't have any knowledge concerning spiritual things, I read in the Bible that there was coming a day when we would all stand in front of the judgment seat, and we would be judged for all the things that we've done in this body, right? I misapplied "in this body." I said, well, that's all the things done in this body, not the judgment is here in this body. And so I thought that, well, I've got to do enough good. I've got to do enough good to offset the bad that I've done. That's what God has left me to do. The problem is that I couldn't even begin.
No.
Well, then I heard a fella talking on the radio, and he said, No, you don't have to work to save yourself. All you have to do is believe, right? If you ask the Lord to forgive you, He'll forgive you. If you ask the Lord to be a child, then He will make you a child. If you ask the Lord to give you life, He'll give you life. And I said, well, that sounds better. That may be something that I could do. You know, the problem is that when you have something like that in your mind, and you ask yourself, what happens to those that are mentally incapacitated? What happens to the man or woman who can't ask God to come in? What happens to the little babe in the womb? Who never sees the light of day? What happens to those? It gets really complicated because you have to come up with this way of salvation and this other way of salvation over here and this other thing over here. You have to come up with all sorts of things in your mind when the simplicity of Christ is simply this, that He has done it all. That is the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. The apostle said, look, men may come with beguiling speech and they may preach another Jesus, which you've not heard. They may preach another gospel, which you've not received. You may well bear with them. But he said, I fear lest any beguile you as Eve was beguiled. You know how Eve was beguiled? Eve wasn't beguiled with some railing accusation. She wasn't beguiled with some fanciful story that was made up. She was beguiled with the truth, into which there had been a little bit inserted. Right? She was beguiled with the truth that Satan had just put a little word in. She said, no, we're not supposed to eat of this fruit. We're not even supposed to touch it because God said that we'd surely die. And all the serpent said was, you shall not surely die. And the apostle says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There is a simplicity in Christ. There is a simplicity to the redemption of Christ, that salvation of Christ that passes all understanding. When a child of God hears that there is nothing you can do because there's nothing that you need to do, there is nothing that is left undone. Oh, how sweet that sounds. Let me tell you how sweet that sounds when you've been laboring. And many of our brothers and sisters are laboring today. Amen. Under, you know, the apostle said, My heart's prayer and desire for Israel is that they may be saved, because he testified that they had a will for God, but a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Right. And he said that because they, not having submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, have gone about to set up their own righteousness. They, instead of submitting to the righteousness which is of God. And there are many of our brothers and sisters that are laboring under those same sorts of work systems today. It's not that they're not children of God. Let me tell you. God has got a people in every nation, in every kindred, in every tongue, every tribe. Amen. Wherever you see the works of the Spirit, there is the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, the Lord said, by their fruits you should know them. By their fruits you should know them.
Right.
You know, I often say this. I went to Boy Scout camp this summer, and while the boys were off doing their merit badges, I did training. And the part of the training, the fellow said, all right, we're going to walk down this way and we need to identify five different trees. And I thought, I can identify one type of tree. It's got leaves on it. That's the only one. Well, I know two, because if it's got leaves on it, it's not a pine tree. If it's got needles, it's a pine tree. That's the only differentiation I can make with trees. And so this fellow said, let's walk down this way to identify five different trees. And the fellows that were with me, they were landscapers. They had 15 different types of trees identified before we went 5 feet. And the fellow that was doing the training said, oh, no, hey, you got a couple here that hadn't even spoken up. And I said, well, I can't tell you what kind of trees those are. Well, why not? Well, because they don't have any fruit on them, right? They don't have any fruit on them. Give me a while, right? Give me 2 or 3 months. And when it gets in the fall, if it's got acorns, I know it's an oak tree, right? If it's got apples, I know it's an apple tree. And if it's got pears, and on, I can identify the tree once I see the fruit. And I can identify who has been grafted into the vine, as the brother talked about this morning, because of the fruit that it bears. Wherever you see the fruits of the Spirit, there is the Spirit. But I'll tell you that many of our brothers and sisters have been beguiled, and their minds have been beguiled away from the simplicity that is in Christ. They have been told that there's something else that is lacking. There's something else that needs to be done, whether it is eternal or whether it is right here in time. Do you know? Yeah, I don't like, and I was told this, and I was told not to say it, and I don't care. I was told not to say that I don't like the term time salvation. Now I believe in the what we're trying to get across, but I don't like the term. And the reason is because the simplicity that is in Christ is simply this: if you have ever been saved from anything, and if you ever will be saved to anything, it was bought on the cross.
Amen.
It came from the cross of Calvary. If you have ever been saved from anything here in the world, do you know who it was in the Scriptures? You know what we're told is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But do you know the only one in the Scripture that it was said that He was faithful and true? It's Christ. That is the only one in the Scriptures where it's testified that this is faithful and true. This is the faithful witness who stands before God. Whatever we have, if it is good and it is perfect, it is of Christ.
Amen.
Every bit of it. You know, we have nothing that we can offer the Lord. We have nothing that we can give the Lord. You know, I say that I don't like the term time salvation. It's not because I don't believe there is timely deliverance right here, because there is. What the Lord said is He came to give us life, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Not over there in heaven, but right here. It starts right now. If you're waiting for eternal life when you die, then you're missing out of the life that has been imparted to you right now. But I will tell you, if anything has delivered you from anything out here in the world, whether it is addictions, whether it is illnesses, whatever it is, that is the Lord Christ Jesus. That is simply it. The simplicity of Christ is that I have done all of the sinning and He has done all of the saving. And if I'm saved from anything, and if I'm saved to anything, then I can look back on the cross and I can see the fount of all of those blessings.
Right.
I'll tell you that the apostle says that I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Apostle Paul, and here in the 11th chapter of this second letter to the Corinthians, he says, now I speak as a fool, right? He said, are they not ministers of Christ? No, I speak as a fool. Well, I'm more. Right? Are they not Hebrews? Well, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Or have they suffered all? Nobody suffered like I've suffered. He said, but I determined to know nothing among you save Christ Jesus and Him crucified.
Amen.
Now we come together and it's, Brother Stan, I love the fellowship of my brothers and sisters, but I often remind myself, and I say this a lot. I didn't say it today. I say it a lot, but it's to remind myself that there's one reason why we come together like this. And it's not because we've been commanded, though we've been commanded, forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. It's not because we've been commanded, it's because we've been drawn. We've been drawn by the Lord Christ. We've been drawn here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the only reason that we should be here. You know, there are a lot of... I asked a fella... there was a fella at work and he was talking about... He had just changed churches. He had found another church home. And it was wonderful. And I said, well, what's wonderful about it? Well, the first thing he said was, you ought to see the basketball court they got. Man, it's one of those spongy type basketball courts. It's not asphalt. It's like this spongy material, so it's easy on your knees. Well, what else do you like about this congregation? Well, they've got a good youth program so that they keep the youth entertained. And every Wednesday night they have a fish fry. Every Wednesday night of the year they've got a fish fry. Well, that's great. The thing that he didn't mention, out of all the things he mentioned about this new congregation, the one thing that he didn't mention was the truth. That is, the one thing that he didn't mention was the very thing that we're here for, is to praise our Lord and Savior, to lift His name up on high, to sing praises to His holy name. What we're told in the Scriptures is that, and the brethren have already mentioned it, and I'll close with this. We have, and I heard this song. There was a song on the radio, and I heard it again yesterday. Was it yesterday or Friday? And it just, every time I hear it, I heard this song on the radio. I only heard a snippet of it, and I heard the whole thing the other day. I think it was Friday. The fellow said on the radio, he said, the wonder, the glory, the message of the gospel is not that we can accept Christ into our lives, but He has accepted us into His, that we have been made accepted in the Beloved. We who were sometimes far off, we who were sinners as others were, we who still to this day bear the burden of that sin, we who were vile and were just as black as if you had rolled around in a tar pit, we have been made accepted in the Beloved. We have been redeemed and presented back to God. And I will say that there are many things that I don't understand. Brother Sam and I, and Brother Wayne as well, we were talking the other weekend about all the things we don't understand. And if we would have talked about everything we didn't understand, we'd still be there. We'd still be there. There are many things that I don't understand. I don't understand how God can be three yet one. I don't understand how Jesus could be here and a voice comes from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." I don't understand how they could be three yet one. I don't understand that. I don't understand how Christ could rise from the grave. I've never seen, in physical terms, a dead man rise. I don't understand that. I don't understand what eternity is. I have no idea what eternity is. I can't imagine. One of the brethren, earlier, talked about, have you ever thought about what was before the beginning of time? No, I can't imagine it. No, I have tried to think about it. I can't imagine. I have no idea what was before the beginning. I know it was God. I know that it was only God, but I can't even imagine it. It hurts my head to think about things like that. I have no idea what heaven is going to be like. I have no idea, as the Apostle Paul said, that's foolish talk. What sort of body are we going to come out of the grave with? Well, that's foolish talk. He says that a seed has to die to go down, but when it goes down, it brings forth a body that the Lord blesses it with. I don't know any of that stuff, and that's okay, because I do know this, that when this life is over, we will be like Him, and we'll be satisfied. God bless you.